read the scripture. We're going to bring the drama team up. I'm going to preach. You're all going to learn a lot. You're going to learn theological terms today. I bet you're excited. How many of you are excited about theological terms?
Yes!
You're a bunch of liars. You couldn't care less. That's okay. I'm still going to bore you with them. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to get together and learn about you and get to know each other. And I pray that this morning we would go away encouraged and strengthened, and that we would experience you in some way, whether it's through the words of someone we're sitting next to or that comes up and speaks to us, or through the words of the teaching, or through the drama, through the music. Please speak to us and inspire us. We need your strength. We need your joy, and we need your love. We ask for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Talking about parables here. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "The enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the house, and then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." He who has ears, let him hear.
Convention, thou hast made it even more glorious.
Well, thank you. I think whatever you said. Yes, thank you very much.
And you know, it is the original language given to us to our ancestors.
What? What is that, Celtic? Oh, well. Did you get one of these pins with the flames?
Nay.
Look at that.
Nay, verily, I did not know, but I do have a pen from my insurance company, from Farmers. Wouldst thou like it?
You're in good hands.
I be in good hands indeed. Yes.
Please have one of mine.
I shall trade thee.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
Okay.
And look! Walt is here as well.
Hey, Walt.
Hey, James.
Walt.
Walt, wouldst thou like a pen from Allstate?
I've got one from Allstate here.
I shall hold on to the one she gave me then.
Do you like my progressive pen?
Indeed. I shall have two now.
You can write a lot of insurance with those.
Indeed I can.
Yes.
Tell me, what breakout session did I go to?
Oh, I went to the one on flood insurance. Wow, everybody should have flood insurance. I'm telling you, even if you don't think you live anywhere near water, you should have flood insurance.
Indeed, I should, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Well,
I just came from the fire damage session.
Ah.
It was very moving.
You know, I went to fire damage last year, and the flood insurance, I almost went there.
Oh, well, you should, whenever you get the chance.
But I did go... to the life insurance one, and verily it moved me to my very soul.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you about the flood insurance. Do you know they told a story about a couple who live in Vermont? Now, you think of Vermont, you don't think floods, right?
No.
No. And they lived in this old farmhouse up on a hill. And then you don't think of hurricanes in Vermont, right?
No.
No. But what happened a couple years ago? Hurricane Ivan or Irene, I don't remember which, smacked that farmhouse. Oh my goodness. The whole floor was totally ruined by flooding.
What a strange tale thou tellest.
But insurance came in. And the whole house was completely restored, better than new, and they had a lovely place to live in while it was done. I tell you, insurance.
Praise be to insurance.
Oh,
yes.
It's a wonderful thing. Over at the fire damage session, they were talking about this orphanage for the blind, deaf, and musically talented.
Interesting.
I did not think they still had orphanages.
Well,
especially for the blind, deaf, and musically talented.
Yes, yes.
But the place burned to the ground,
oh.
And these poor orphans were just stumbling around playing the drums on trees.
Terrible.
So horrible.
What happened?
Insurance showed up.
Insurance.
See?
Rebuilt the entire place with fire extinguishers and pianos everywhere.
Was, what a wonderful story.
What a glorious thing insurance be. I must tell thee why I felt the need to go to the life insurance one.
Yes.
I had a hardship this past year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Both of my parents did pass. Yes, my...
Oh, gee, I'm so sorry.
Well, my mother slippeth upon the soap. And my father, upon hearing this, rushed home and was hit by a bus as he crossed up the street.
That's just a tragedy.
It was a tragedy, and greater still, I confess to thee, neither had life insurance. So the hardship is placed upon my sisters and my brother and me.
That must be
great
overwhelming.
Indeed.
Oh, yes.
And so what moveth me so in this session, knowing this, what really struck me is the importance of telling all of my family and friends about the importance of insurance, of life insurance.
You are so right. If your family and friends don't hear about insurance from you, where will they hear it?
Right. Yes. And... Oh, look who arriveth now. Tis Fred from Esurance.
He's driving a Prius.
Yes, but thou missest the point.
It's yellow.
Ugly as that may be, thou missest the point. You know
what?
About Fred, don't you?
Well, he's with Esurance. That's all I really know.
He beeth a risk taker. Yes.
No.
He bungee jumpeth. He fall from yonder airplane.
Don't tell me he snowboards.
Wednesday, what does he do?
Every Wednesday night, he's part of a fight club that fights velociraptors.
Velociraptors! Brought back from the past.
He is just ruining our whole industry.
But that is not the worst of it, indeed.
What?
No, he is actually writing strange policies that will never come into effect. He has written policies for people who, if a squirrel should lose its grip upon a Douglas fir and fall upon thy head, you are covered. He covers landmine invasions. If the clown should come to your yard, he cover that.
That never happens.
If you are out walking your dog and the street openeth and swallow thy dog and then closeth again, you are covered.
Oh, I actually read that policy. It only covers pit bulls and labradoodles and sleeping koala bears.
Sleeping koala bears.
He is giving a bad name to our whole industry.
It is ridiculous.
Plus, oh my goodness. Oh, that guy.
And you know, the Insurance Regulatory Committee at the end of the year is going to look very hard at him and at Esurance and give them what for.
Well, yeah, but... That's at the end of the year. I think something needs to be done now.
I totally agree. And that's why last night when I got home, I sent an envelope full of anthrax to their building.
What?
Who? What?
Yeah, I just stuffed an envelope full of anthrax and sent it to their building.
Why wouldst thou doest that?
For the sake of it.
Well,
are you hoping to get
I plan to get to Fred by getting to the company.
Okay. All right. I really think, though, the best way is to get to the company by getting to Fred. I mean, he needs something like the little Nancy Kerrigan, right to the knee. Don't you think?
No, what sayest thou? Listen,
no, yeah,
thou must have missed the part where I said Insurance Regulatory Committee. Yea, verily, they are just and good. They will look at this. Oh. At the end of the year, they will deal with this situation.
But he needs... If we rough him up now, then the whole company will get the message. That's what we need to do. I'm thinking I still have that baseball bat in my car.
Speak some sense to her.
No, look, the committee is going to show up, and imagine how pleasantly surprised they'll be when I firebomb the whole building to the ground.
What if they're insured?
No. That's what the anthrax is for. Nobody has bio-warfare insurance.
Progressive, right?
Yeah.
Startup.
Yeah.
What are you, 10, 15 years in the business? You think you know everything.
Well,
and yet, here you are. We've been here doing this forever, and you think that you can just do something outrageous like that, and it'll be okay. You're crazy.
You and your old-timey insurance, Allstate. We've learned from your mistakes. We know now that it takes a long period of time to properly destroy a company.
Now both me just cool us down.
Yeah, well, I'm getting my bat out of the car, and I'm going to do Fred a little number here, and if you get in the way, you had just better, that's it. You're crazy, Progressive.
I'm not crazy, I'm just a normal guy with access to mustard gas. She is... you know what? After I'm done taking down insurance, I'm going to go after her company. I've got to go make a call to a guy who can get me Agent Orange.
Now both need us to calm down. Listen, the insurance regulatory... That's what those companies get for hiring people who don't even know how to speak us correctly. I'm going to write to the Insurance Regulatory Committee and ask them to smiteth both of them and their companies. Yea, verily.
You know how that fits in with the sermon? I do. I may be the only one. There is evil in this world. I have seen it up close. I've wrestled with it for many hours. I've lost sleep. I've struggled greatly. But by the grace of God, I have prevailed. It cost me dearly. And I continue to feel the loss and pain. Of course, I'm talking about my taxes. It's April 15th. Ask me about my taxes sometime, and I will tell you about evil. The good news, the only good news, is that I'm done. The bad news is that the government gets most of my money. Government employees, you're welcome. Teachers. Yeah. I think it's kind of mutual, though, so thanks, anyway, for you. I pay you, you pay me, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. It works out. It's a little graft, is what they call it. We are going to talk about the good news and the bad news today. We are going to talk about both. So, I will tell you the good news first. Only the bad news is far worse than taxes, and the good news is far better than being done with them. This is a parable. Two weeks ago, before Easter, we talked about the parable of the sower and the soils. This is kind of related because we're talking about seeds and dirt again. Turns out that they lived in an agricultural society, and seeds and dirt were around. There were a lot of them, right? So that's what Jesus used for his illustrations. And then 2 weeks ago when we talked about the seeds and the soil and the sower, we talked about how the seeds were the good news. They were the message of the kingdom of heaven. The message is this. The good news is this. That there is a creator. And that creator is completely wise, completely pure, all-powerful, yet loving. That's good to know. But what does that have to do with me? Well, as you see throughout history, and especially in the Bible, you see that God gave humankind ample opportunity to turn to him. In the process, if you've read at least a part of the Old Testament, you realize that they figured out that they're not very good at that. We have figured out that we're not very good. So those who were wise began to see their need for intervention, for God's help. Let's look at that passage in Romans 3:20. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And what's more, we all kind of realize that we even fall short of our own standards. We want to live pure, clean, loving, generous, gentle, peaceful lives. We want to care about others and not be selfish and mean and small and angry and cranky. I could go on, and I often do. But we fall short of even our own standards. And those who are wise say, I need help. Well, the good news is it doesn't end there. Jesus is the message of the good news, and he came to reveal God's plan and purpose. Let's take a look at there, right ahead of me. Yet God, same context, with undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Jesus came to reveal God's plan and purpose. And that plan and purpose is to take away that issue that keeps us from God, that keeps us from even accomplishing our own standards. That issue is sin. That issue is our own decision and the way our nature kind of runs. His purpose was to make us holy, pure before God, so there's no wall between us. That's what died for our sins means. Our sin, our impurity, was the barrier, and Jesus took that on himself, and then he put it to death. And I think about that when I think about the cross, and last week was Easter, and the Good Friday last week, two days ago, I think about the cross, and I think, how can any human being fully understand everything that took place on that cross? How can we understand the eternal implications and ramifications of what took place on that cross, and how Jesus actually took away that burden of sin. And before God, and God's a good one to trust in on this, we are pure. How can we fully understand what took place? How can we understand Jesus being the immortal, being separated, the immortal dying, the immortal, eternal God experiencing separation from life, subjecting himself to the greatest injustice ever? All I know that is on that day, somewhere between 1,977 and 1,981 years ago, did the math, I think I'm right, sin was broken and good news happened. Happy Easter, if you're Orthodox. I don't know if you know this, but the Orthodox Church operates from the Julian instead of the Gregorian calendar, and so today is Easter, April 15th, tax day. Now, it doesn't always fall on April 15th because, boy, it's hard to explain about Easter, but I think it has something to do with the moon. It has a little bit to do with the moon and the vernal equinox, actually, to tell you the truth. In fact, I think It's the first Sunday after the full moon following the vernal equinox in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
I think that's correct. Am I correct on that, Mr. Collins, Dr. Collins?
I couldn't tell y'all.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, you science nerds. I'm so glad that you're here, because I had to look it up and I'm still a little bit confused. But anyway, Orthodox means right teaching or right doctrine. So you guys, we're all wrong about the Easter thing. Just kidding. Beth's sister and family are Orthodox, right? So they're in church. They're celebrating Easter today. They're in town to celebrate the Holy Week. It's near our home. And Roy, Grant's cousin, says that there's an awful lot of standing around and being incredibly bored. And I personally think we should party. I mean, ham would not be out of order. Glazed ham would be really good. I think that we should remember, definitely understand what goes on, but I think it's a time to celebrate, because the message is that the good news happened. We are right with God. We are right with God. A relationship that was broken is set right. And that's what the seed is about. It's about that message. That's what the seed we talked about 2 weeks ago is about. You know, most relationships are tricky, aren't they? If you know anything about relationships, if you think you do, you're probably lying. But relationships are tricky. You're never really quite sure where you stand. Marriages, family, you're always trying to figure out, you know, did I say something to offend? Wasn't I an idiot? Was I insensitive, inattentive, selfish, careless? Probably, yeah. You are going to fail those you love. You are going to fail those you love. Am I right, husbands? Am I right, wives? Yeah, it's going to happen. But the cool thing about this good news, about this seed, is that you cannot fail God. And you don't have to worry about violating that relationship, because God took care of that. It's a different relationship. He doesn't look at you and go, uh-oh. I had you there for a while and you were cool, but that one thing that you did, that's it. Jesus took all of that sin on the cross, and that's pretty good news. I think that's worth a ham. I'll stop.
Amen.
Yeah. There we go. Now we're talking. There's nothing between you. Even your horrendous failure does not tick off God. He's taken care of that. The good news is beyond comprehension. Now, in this parable, in this particular parable, the seeds have germinated. The seeds are the sons of the kingdom, or the children of the kingdom. Right? They're the product of the good news message. And Jesus is saying that there are seeds in the field. That Jesus planted, that the farmer planted these seeds, and they sprouted, and they are children of the kingdom. They're changed people. They're fruitful lives. And the message produces children of the kingdom. The picture is this: that God plants this message in your heart. You hear this message, and it changes. You hear this message that we can be right with God, that we can be free from this burden of sin, that we don't have to stop and worry that we're going to do something horrendous and offend God, and He's going to be done with us. And some of you people have done some pretty horrendous stuff, I'm just saying. Well, me too, okay. But God is not offended. And it takes root, and it grows, and it produces grain and food. It produces a fruitful life. The purpose of God's message, and the purpose of us, just like stalks of wheat, is to produce life. To give life, to share life. Not to have the coolest stuff. That's not our purpose. Just saying. So everything is perfect, right? Everything's great, right? Uh-oh. What happened? There are some weeds. Weeds sprout up. Something amazing happens when the wheat is sown, these lives are produced, that people have changed lives and there's healing and growth in life, but there's more to the parable. There are weeds that are planted among the wheat. And we know from the way Jesus explains it that the field is the world. It's the world that we live in. It's the place that everybody lives. And there are weeds that come up among them. So evil is introduced into the world. When Jesus is talking about these weeds, he's talking about this particular type of weed known as, I have a picture of this, Lolium temulentum. Lolium temulentum.
Colloquially, tares.
Which is a tare or darnel. So if you know someone named Darnell, it means weed. Just saying. Darnell who smokes weed, that's interesting, but I'm just saying. This Lolium temulentum is similar to wheat in all the early stages, but it becomes bitter. It looks very much like wheat. It's almost indistinguishable. Wheat. It's almost indistinguishable from it. But if you eat it, it's bitter. It makes you dizzy, almost drunk. But I suggest you don't try it because it also makes you vomit and can cause death. And it's only distinguishable at harvest time from wheat. When it gets past this point, that looks a lot like wheat to me, right? And at harvest time, it turns kind of a purplish black instead of a brown or a dark golden color like wheat, and it doesn't droop like wheat. That's the only way you can really distinguish it. And it grows, it happens to grow all over the place, particularly in the Middle East. That's the weeds he's talking about. Now I want you to note several things about those weeds. Number one, the enemy put them there. This sin and evil was introduced by the enemy. God created us with choice, but he did not create us evil. Understand that? You can't accuse God of creating evil. But if you create something with the ability to make a choice, and that choice means anything, they can choose between good and or evil. Right? Adam and Eve and all descendants as a result were unable to resist the pull of evil, and we get trapped in it. We get trapped in it. And in the parable, the workers ask, how did the weeds get there? Implied is, did you plant good seed? Was your seed kind of polluted here? Did you throw some other stuff in here accidentally? What happened to your seed? And that's not what happened. The seed was good, but an enemy came and infiltrated. God did not create evil, but he allowed for its potential when he created beings who are able to choose, including the enemy, the devil, a being able to choose. The second thing I want you to notice is that the enemy comes at night while everyone is asleep and leaves before people get there. He didn't want people to know it was his work. He wanted us to blame each other. He wanted us to blame something other than the enemy. He figured that out of this, somehow, this would cause a real problem and turmoil among us. His tactic, make it look like there's someone else to blame. The enemy's called the accuser. He's good at it. Who is to blame? Who's to blame for the problems in our world? It's the government, right?
Yeah.
It's big business. It's stupid people. No shortage. It's me? He turns us against each other when really we are all in need of help. He even turns me against myself. How does he do that? That's mean. He turns you against yourself and you tell yourself, look, I'll never change. I'm not a good person. I might as well give in. And you just dig a deeper hole. Why do I even bother to try? I might as well just give myself up to this, the fact that I'm never going to be what I want to be. This is not God's doing. Those are not God's word. Did God put the bad seed there? No. The enemy did. This is the voice of the accuser, and we need to recognize that. When we start blaming other people, when we start blaming organizations, we start blaming ourselves. That's the voice of the accuser. The third thing I want you to notice about the weeds is that the weeds come up when the wheat begins to sprout. Verse 28. You can't tell, you don't even know that the weeds are there until good things start to happen. Some people blame Christianity for a lot of evil things in this world, like wars, like racism, like slavery, misogyny, and etc. And many awful things have been done in the name of the church, by the institutional church, and in the name of Christ. We have to admit that. Many awful things have been done. But are they planted by God? Was this God's intention? No, it's the enemy who wants it to look bad. And he likes to counterfeit the real thing, because you really only counterfeit valuable things. People don't counterfeit pennies. It's a waste of time. They counterfeit hundreds and maybe 20s if they're ambitious, I suppose. So you counterfeit valuable things, and so the enemy loves to counterfeit and use the name of Christ and use the name of the church to sully the reputation. These are the product of the enemy. The sickest I've ever been, the sickest I've ever been, was right after we were married, the first summer after we were married, 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. And I was in bed for a week. I had this virus, or bacteria rather, called Shigella. Anybody ever had that? You nurses know what that is? Fun stuff. All right? I was in bed for a week. I lost about 20 pounds, and back then I didn't really need to. I traced it to a kid who forgot to wash their hands when helping mommy with the potato salad. Oh. And for years, I could not eat potato salad. And for months, I didn't want to eat anything that didn't come out of a can. I was not interested. And that's what these weeds are like. They turn some people off to the whole idea of Christianity. And the enemy loves this. The enemy is saying, good, that's what I was trying for. The enemy wants to turn people off to Christianity altogether. Now, there's nothing wrong with potato salad, but kids. No! Unless you're flipping hands. Thank you. And mommies and daddies, make sure your kids wash their hands when they help you prepare. If that's the only thing you get on my message today, God be praised. You do not want Shigella, am I right? Thank you. So let's get out the weed eater and the Roundup and get to work. Not so fast. We don't need to eliminate insurance of progressive here. We may be on the same team. The judgment. As much as we should avoid and protect ourselves from these people who are caught up in evil, we are not to condemn or judge them. I promised I would share a theological term, and I know you people are on the edges of your seats. So here we go. Sublapsarianism. Wow. Everybody say it with me. Sublapsarianism. You will forget it the instant you leave. You may have already tried to forget it. Major fault of Calvinism. Some of you are just going to fall asleep. Sorry about that. Is this concept of limited atonement. Okay? That Jesus only died for certain people. And he didn't die for certain other ones. That Jesus only died for the elect. And I'm not going to talk about election because that's too much to take on today. But I'd be glad to talk to you about it. Or I could send you to Mark. He'd have fun with that. Wouldn't you have fun with that, Mark? The thing is that Calvinism says that some people, by the way, sublapsarianism is about the order God decided to do things, which is weird, because how do we know? I asked God, he didn't tell me, he said, oh, actually, first, and does God have an order? He's an eternal being. Can't he do it all at once? He's a multitasker. But this kind of gives us, from the human perspective, and I love theology for this, because we're figuring out God. Yeah. I guess you got to do something with your time. But God decreed to create human beings. God decreed to permit the fall. He decreed to provide salvation sufficient to all. And God decreed to choose some to receive the salvation. We won't talk about four, because I don't want to get in an argument right now. Personally, I'd love to, but I don't think I'm sure. The problem with Calvinism is it says that Jesus only died for some. And the thing is, if we run with that, we go, well, I know which ones he died for, and you're not one of them. You're not good enough. And so we can get out our weed eater and our Roundup, and we can just go, nah, you are evil. And that's not the way God operates. In fact, Jesus says, no, 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 do not pull up the weeds. Why? Because a couple of things. He's God, and it's his call, not ours. No human can make that call. People change. What appears to be a weed can turn into wheat. It has happened, hasn't it, people? And we get carried away. And we really can't tell what's going to produce fruit. We can't tell. We don't know that. I have in my pocket this little pin. It's a little Native American guy here, all right? Here, pass that around. Don't lose it, because it means something to me. I had this guy that was in the youth group that I was running for Youth for Christ back in 90, a few years ago. And he was was a troubled kid. He was in a foster home, kind of a care home for troubled kids. And he got in trouble with the law because he did something that apparently gets you in trouble these days. He took a shotgun to school in his gym bag. And, you know, you do that and people frown on it. Even in the 90s, they were upset by that. I spent a lot of time with Stacy. He's a good guy, troubled. But it was after a year, I no longer worked for Youth for Christ, and I moved on to something else, and I never saw the guy again. Now, he gave me that little pin because he liked me. Gave me that little Native American pin, and he said his grandma made it for me. I think he might have gotten it at Walmart, but I don't know. But I keep it because it reminds me of this fact that I don't know what happened to Stacy. I don't know what my work or anybody else's work produced in his life, and I won't know until heaven, probably. I hope I know sooner than that. Sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes you get blessed, and you get to find out. Is that better, Steve?
Much better. Heck,
I may not know the results till heaven, and that's why we don't get to pull up the weeds. It's one of the reasons. And there's a difference between being discerning and wise and condemning. We want to be discerning about questionable potato salad. We want to wash our hands. But it doesn't mean that we condemn all potato salad. It's not our job to condemn because we'd get carried away, too, wouldn't we? It's happened, people. The Salem witch trials, the Inquisition. We get carried away. God knows that. It's like, well, let's root out evil. Whoops. And God doesn't want the wheat to come to harm. And we're not as gentle as God. There will be a judgment. And he talks about this judgment. And he talks about it in no uncertain terms. He says that people will be separated from God. And the tender-hearted among us may have a hard time with that. May be uncomfortable with this. In fact, Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins to address that issue, because judgment is often seen as offensive. And yet, we all want evil to be eradicated, don't we? But God is careful. He's more careful than the most tender-hearted among us. He doesn't want us to condemn because we can't see who is redeemable. And God is only going to remove those who are poisoned. And he will give them every chance to respond. And God is going to respect our choices. He respects them now. He will respect them throughout eternity. That's the way he created us. He will not bully us into turning to him. And I think that's good. So in closing, there is evil in the world, and it goes beyond taxes. Sometimes it disguises itself. Sometimes it's pretty clear. We are to be wise. We are to recognize and avoid getting tangled in it. But we're not to condemn. It could have been, it may have been you at one point. We've all been victims, and we've all hurt others with our sin. God will deal with those who steadfastly refuse him. So let's continue to live and share the news, the good news, the life-changing, life-giving truth that we are forgiven, that we can be children of the kingdom, sharing God's hope, We can share his hope and love in our workplaces, in our homes, even here. Let's pray. God, thank you for your good news. Give us discerning, wise hearts. Help us to see in others what you see, to see others as you see them, to be gentle, to be patient, and to trust others to you. Lord, draw us to your good news. Help us to be lives that are fruitful, that share your love and your hope and your message with a world who desperately needs it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.